We on? Now then, Ray Winston here. The real one. Close enough. Doing a new podcast with me mate Tony. Soprano, that is.
Oh, how you doing?
Talking all the big stuff. Birds, scraps, films.
And of course, men's mental health. With studio guests such as arch feminist and top broad Deborah Francis White and disgraced scumbag comedian Dapper Laughs.
Something for everyone. We're trying to be better men, ain't we, Tone?
That's right. We're bad boys done good.
Available on YouTube and to download on all good audio platforms. Go on, get off your hands, you dopey c***.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Insane in the Membrane. Hello again, and before we get into it, just want to say, over on Insane in the Fembrane, we have a plus-size model, Felicity Haywood, and it's a really great chat.
Bigger women were not used in fashion editorials at that time. I was working a lesbian speed dating night at the Retro Bar.
Right, okay.
And I got an email from someone saying, like, is anyone representing you? Like, would you like to be represented as a model? And I burst out laughing. I thought someone was punking me. It then turns out the person that emailed me was the ginger one from the Sugar Babes who was currently working at a model agency at the time. So it's all a bit peculiar.
Oh, that's mad.
So weird. And got
that's
signed.
Incredible.
And became, you know, the UK's first plus size model of my age.
So that's Felicity Haywood over on Insane in the Fembrane right now. Okay, let's get into it. Welcome again to another edition of Insane in the Membrane. I love doing these. I've got to be honest, I love doing this podcast. I love doing Membrane. I love doing Fembrane. I just want to say thank you to all of our lovely Patreons as well for continuing to do that. That's very kind of you. I know I say this all the time. I've got to do some more stuff to it. There's going to be some things, some changes I'm going to make so that people get gifts and things and that. And there's more stuff for our wonderful Patreons. I've just been going through it a little bit. There's got some personal stuff going on that I've had to deal with, and we'll get through it. We'll be fine. But it's just dominating things a little bit at the minute. But I will pull my finger out and I will get to you, my wonderful patrons. Thank you. And David Harris, thank you, mate. I saw your message. Thank you very much for your mug. I know I wasn't sure. I remember because I thought it was you, but then I talked myself out of it. You know, when you go to say something and then you go, is it that name? Like your own brain gets in your own way. So thank you, David Harris. That mug is excellent. Thank you so much. Thank you to everybody that listens. You're all wonderful. Thank you for the messages and everything. It really means a lot to know that you're out there listening. It wouldn't be no point doing it if no one was listening to it, but it really means a lot. And, you know, we had Stuart Wolfenden on last week from Dead Man's Shoes and The Virtues, and what a chat that was. I mean, the guy is incredible. I just, you know, when you meet someone that's just so positive and just their energy is just next level, and what a guy. Everybody that's on, actually, all the guests we have, I've been very lucky. And like I've said before, I learn something from every guest. You know, this is why I do this, is to not only, you know, have, you know, give you wonderful people to listen to, but also I learn things from everyone that's on. You know, Dr. Shaham Das, that was on the other week. You know, I don't know anything about criminal psychiatry, but there he was. And what a dude he is as well. What an amazing man. So thank you. I'm wittering on. I do love doing this podcast. I love that you lot love it too. Thank you so much. My guest this week is, I'm going to say this, he's one of my favourite comedians. In Edinburgh, in the Edinburgh Festival, would have been not last year, year before. His show was on just before mine in a different venue, but I'd walked to my show and his was on the way, so I'd always drop in and I'd go and see his show, Hail Mary. Now, I believe Hail Mary is on YouTube, so once you've listened to this, get yourself a cup of tea or whatever you want, a beer or some wine or whatever you want to do, and then go and watch Sean McLaughlin's show, Hail Mary, on YouTube. It's a phenomenal show. I must have watched it, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 times. I used to go in just before I was on my way to my gig. I'd get amped up by listening to him and grabbing a bit of his energy. Because before Edinburgh, we'd done an Edinburgh preview together, and he was on first. I was on after him with my show, and I had the best Edinburgh preview I've ever had because of him. It really fired me up. I was like, oh my God, I really want to. Oh God, I've never known an energy like it. And so I kind of was sort of harvesting that when I was in the actual Edinburgh Festival. So thanks to Sean for that. But yeah, check out that show, Hail Mary, on YouTube. It's really worth your time. And I'd said to him before, I would have loved him to come on, and then we didn't do anything about it. And then he messaged me a little while ago and just said, look, I'm a big fan, I really like it. And it wasn't about him coming on. He was just like, look, I really love the show. I just want to say nice one. And I'm like, look, while I've got you, come on the show, come and do this. And I think you'd be great. And do you know what? He was. I absolutely adore this man, and I know that you will as well after listening to him. So coming up in just a sec, Sean McLaughlin.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Yeah, you sound great. You sound all right. How are you?
Do I? Oh,
yeah, you sound great.
Well, do you know what? I am okay in general. I've been very tired today because I had a long drive back from Bristol last night.
Oh, wow. What were you doing in Bristol?
I was doing a gig.
Nice.
And I've just forgot how exhausting doing comedy can be. But about 20 minutes ago, I just found out a friend of mine has had a baby today. So that's in that nice afterglow of feeling good when you get good news.
Oh, that's lovely. Mate. There's a load of babies happening at the minute.
Too many for my liking. A bit too many.
It's the best thing about it is, and no disrespect to my own sons, other people's, you go, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I'm so proud of you. Well done. I'm so pleased. And then you can just go and you haven't got to worry about it. But that's, no, I mean, no disrespect to my own sons. You were perfect lads.
So I think it's hard because I don't know what to buy as gifts. I think for an adult, you can just buy them a pint or
yeah.
But like what do you get a baby? I don't know.
A pint. Just get it a pint and go, look, you'll grow into this.
Put it in the fridge. Take it out in 16 years.
Oh man.
It's pints to lay down, isn't it? Rich can't hear me. Sorry.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I can.
Yeah, pints to lay down.
Pints to lay down.
Like laying down a bottle of wine.
What is that?
It's where you buy a bottle of wine for, you know, or a whiskey or whatever for a child, and then just lay it down in the cellar for 20 years or something. And then,
oh, yeah.
Absolutely disgusting. Or,
or that'd be all right with whiskey, but you want to do it with Cronenberg.
Yeah, pint of Amstel in the cellar. Trust me, nothing can go wrong.
There was somebody on the news last week who'd laid down, his dad had laid down a bottle of whiskey for him every year since he was one, and then he's just sold the whole collection and put down a deposit on a house.
God, I saw that. I saw that.
Must have been reasonable whiskey. God, but I'm recording everything, so can you all hear each other well?
Yes.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
Yeah, does it sound right? Fine.
Brilliant. I'll leave you to it.
It sounds wonderful. Yeah, that's what you want. Yeah, a bottle of vodka, a bottle of whiskey would be fine. But
yeah, yeah.
Isn't it funny that we do that, that we celebrate the birth with something that is poison, really? Essentially, well done to the world. We're all fucked. Join in.
It is that, yeah. I wish, to be honest, that story about that guy with the, yeah, getting whiskey every year. I wish my parents had been more proactive with that. I wish they'd just been a little bit more alcoholic. Just that one step more, and then maybe I could have reaped the benefits now.
My mum and dad were the same. They were social drinkers, so they'd go out and get pissed, but there wasn't any booze in the house so much, and maybe at Christmas, but even then, not massive amounts. I do remember finding a tiny bottle of Jack Daniels that someone had obviously given somebody, and I pinched it and got hammered up the park, and that's why I can't drink whiskey or anything connected with that now.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my drink. Have you got a drink like that?
For me, it's cider. It's cider in all forms, because that's when I was 15 and going to the beach and getting pissed with all my friends for the first time. It was always like White Lightning
and
stuff like that. You know, the kind of the £2 for 50 litre bottles that I don't think you can get them anymore. Maybe you have to go on the dark web or something. But it was, I just associate even the smell of it with just chucking up and chucking up and not knowing what to do with my life.
I know, you just think, is this it? I'm 15 and it's all come crashing down already.
Yeah, I think I'm one of those guys. I got into Radiohead too young, and I think like there should be you have to be 18 or older, because it will just make you really depressed as a teenager. You should be excited when you're a teenager. But.
Well, I was too immature. I was aware of the Smiths and things like that. So those bands were around because of my dad. But I kind of was like, hey, I like that song, that's all right. But I was like an 80s like pop kid, so I was listening to Level 42 and Go West and Luther Vandross and stuff. So that I kind of put the darkness and the melancholy off for a few years.
I think that's healthy. I think I think that shows you're very you seem like a fun-loving guy. Whereas I think people don't realize that I love a good time, I think.
If they just base you on what they see on stage.
Or even just in a shop. I think I'm tall and I'm thin and I dress in black. I think a lot of people sometimes don't think I'm real. They just think the death has come for me. I better escape.
You're like the Johnny Cash of comedy, just the man in black.
Yeah, I'd love that. I'd love that. I'd clean up on the prison circuit.
Oh, man. But so you did your gig in Bristol. How did that go? Was it good? Was it good to get back out?
I loved it. It's been, I've been really lucky. I mean, I don't know when this goes out, but I've been doing a bit recently, and it's sort of after not having stand up for so long.
Yeah.
It's nice to know that it wasn't all a dream, you know, the whole career, it was real. And I had that moment. I was driving back last night, and it was one of those late night drives where there's just no one on the road apart from comedians and truckers. And I was really full of adrenaline. The gig was really fun. It was probably the most fun I've had since it's all been back.
Brilliant.
And I was drinking a coffee and I was listening to the War on Drugs like really loud, the band.
Yeah.
And I just felt like it was one of those great, I don't know why, I felt like, oh, I'm back, here I am.
Yeah. I totally get it, man. Yeah, I've said this before on here over the last couple of weeks. I was all sort of strangely zen when it all went away. I was like, all right, well, there's nothing I can do about it. We're all in it together, blah, blah, blah. And then my first gig back, I remember just standing there going, oh, how the fuck does this go? what do I do? And it took me a few to get back into it. But then again, like you, I was driving back from somewhere and I had Andy Votel on, just loud, the, what's it called? Something, 10 Fingers, whatever it's called. But it's such a great album and it was loud and I had a coffee. And I just remember driving down the A1 or whatever it was. I'm like, yeah, this now, yes.
I'm so glad I don't, because I felt quite lame admitting that to you. Like, but I don't know what it was. Something about the gig last night, like everything. I think the drive back, the drives back. It's one of those things that I didn't think I'd miss the travel.
Yes.
About stand up, but I think I really do. I said this to my wife early into the lockdown. I said, I'm having trouble sleeping in the same bed every night for months because I can't remember the last time I've ever had that. Probably not since I was, a student, I suppose.
It is funny, isn't it? I remember when I used to do a lot of Jonglers gigs, and so you're in a different hotel every weekend. Mm. And I remember at one point, I really did take it for granted. I remember just, I've been sat on a hotel bed in like a Premier Inn or whatever it was. And I'm like, oh, another room. And then after lockdown, I'm like, oh, God, I miss those days.
Yeah, God, I know. And it is mad what you go, God, I'm just so sick of these lovely made beds that someone has professionally cleaned for me.
I know. I'm going to miss a Premier Inn buffet. I'll tell you that much. I know.
Oh, God.
They're the best. I'm sorry. But I know, you know, I've eaten in some of the best restaurants in the world, but Premier Inn buffet, mate. And now it's gone away because some mad idiot had a bat in his buffet.
I know. You fucking idiot. There were hash browns right there.
No one goes for that. You went off menu, mate. That's what you did. Stick to the script, mate.
These guys are on minimum wage. They can't make you a good bat.
No disrespect to the chefs, of course.
No disrespect to the chefs. But my parents told me, they go, look, don't ask for a bat unless it's... unless you know the chef knows what they're doing.
It's like the blowfish in The Simpsons.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, man. But how are you in yourself? Are you? It's up and down, isn't it? It's up and down.
Yeah, really up and down. I feel so lucky with how it's fallen for me and the fact that I've got, you know, I've had my wife with me and a lot of people are getting pummeled with this. And I do think comedians, you know, we've lost a lot, but I think there is a bit of perspective needed. There's always people who are worse off than you.
Absolutely.
And so I feel so lucky, but I think everyone's in the same boat. No one knows what the fuck to think. No one knows what the next week's going to bring, let alone what the next 6 months is going to bring.
Yeah.
And I feel lucky that I was in a position where I'd already had a good run as a person and as a comedian. And so I sort of, like you, I think I'd sort of made my peace with the fact that it was gone and, you know, I was trying to figure out what else to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is, I see the stories, I see other people. I saw someone yesterday, Maureen Younger was talking about the problems she's been having with her flat and how, you know, landlords are being absolute arseholes in this. They're like, you know, because everybody still needs to be surviving. So it's people start going, you know, they can't stop, not lashing out, but they kind of go, well, I need to survive. So I need to get all the money I can to get it to come in. And so everybody's sort of going in different directions. And like you say, no one really knows what. We can't make plans. That's the weird thing. Can't make plans because it changes.
No. Mm-hmm. That's the bit I find it hard. It's like, I don't really know what I've got to look forward to. Mm. And so you have to, in a way, take it, you know, day to day or week to week. And I mean, it feels like it's like a lose-lose, whatever we do as a society. And it's funny, I had a chat this morning with someone from a university who was contacting me about doing some potentially online gigs for some of the students who have been basically self-isolating in their halls of residence, freshers. And it's such a nightmare scenario because it doesn't feel like there's any way to win.
No.
I feel like the kids go back to school and the students go to uni. It's like there's it is like a lose-lose. The disease will spread, but you can't just write off a generation's education.
No. And this is it. And yeah.
I do feel like it's one of those things I feel, as much as I disagree with a lot of how it's been handled in this country, I do feel somewhat relieved that I'm not in a position to make actual decisions.
Oh, God, can you imagine?
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, everything is scrutinised. You're not going to make everybody happy. And then it just, all I see is everyone fighting with each other. It's all, you know, people, you've got pop stars and rock stars saying, oh, your masks are bullshit. And then you've got other people going, no, we have to wear masks and you shouldn't be saying that. And then you're like, all you can do is kind of do what you feel is right. And I feel that a mask, at least it's something, you know, it's I'm doing something. Rather than just walking around arrogantly going, "Oh, fuck you, I don't give a shit." It's, you know.
At the least, you'd hope that it's like a... Even if you don't believe in its benefits, it is at least it's a level of respect for your fellow citizens.
Like, on that level, yes.
Like you go, like, other people will be freaked. It's the same reason I don't walk in there into co-op with my penis out. Not because I'm like, what, is this going to hurt you? My penis could do no damage, but I have enough respect for my fellow man. Like, well, if this makes them more comfortable. I mean, I probably could have chosen a better analogy there. It's not like I live every day fighting the urge and marching on Trafalgar Square with my fellow man and with Right Said Fred about the chance to get my cock out.
But yeah, I think I think we are always fighting that as men. We are fighting the urge to get our cocks out.
Masks off, cocks out. Have I misread this podcast?
That's why I got you on here. I thought, there's a man that's going to get behind my new... Masks on, cocks out. Oh, that's going to be a great T-shirt with your face, thumbs up.
Absolutely. I stand by it. And me and Lawrence Fox, we can start our... We can have our own podcast.
Speaking of podcasts, you have your own podcast. I can't remember what it's called, the Reading the Bible.
Yeah, Sean and Elliot Read the Bible. That's almost done, though. We haven't done it in a while, and it's almost we've almost finished the Bible.
Oh, really?
I'm gonna
say this now. You're one of my favourite comedians, so I'm a big fan of yours for a while. And so, you know, as when you become a fan, you look into what else that person's doing, and so you go, oh, that's cool, that's interesting, and then you start listening to the stuff. And what struck me about that your podcast, because I thought it was going to be taking the piss, but it's you're a religious man in some respect.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely... I was raised very Catholic, and I have, I've kept my options open.
Yes. Well, I'm the same.
I've kept my options open. But I think also with the Bible, I don't read it or think it's good because I think it all happened.
No.
Because I think it almost certainly didn't. But I do think that, I genuinely think it's a really cool and interesting book, and Yeah.
I put you on the spot now. It wasn't.
No. Yeah, you haven't. It's not something I don't really think about it that often. I mean, that's the truth, is I don't think about it that often. But no. I'm definitely more. I'm not in the hardcore atheist band of comedian.
No. Well, this is the thing, because like you say, the Bible, it's a very interesting book, and there's some great things in there that, regardless of the religious stuff behind it, they're just great ways to, you know, tools to a manual to live your life. It's like, yeah, don't be a dick, you know. That's,
I think that's the, you know, core of it.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't be a dick. A lot of the people who seem to love the book don't get that.
No,
they've taken a very different interpretation.
They see it as more of a Haynes manual to the. You know, it's, yeah, this is all verbatim. This is exactly how it happens. It's exactly everything. You go, no, you've got to look between the lines. There's nuances, there's grey area, and there's this and that, and it's up to your interpretation of certain things. And I'm the same. We were brought up to believe in God. We weren't Catholic or Protestant or wherever we were. We were just brought up that there was a God. And so I find myself, even now, I think about it and I'm like, well, it doesn't make sense. Like, where would he be? What is he? What is, or him or her, whatever it is. But then, I'll find myself in the car going, listen, I don't know if you're out there, but if you just make this work, I will believe in you forever. You know, you find stuff. Just get me out of this shit. And listen, we'll talk contracts. You know, it's,
what have you done? Get me out of this shit, God.
Yeah, look, I've got a shovel.
I've got a shovel. I've got bleach, and I will sign it in blood.
And then you arrive. I thought you were okay.
I think it's I guess it's the thing is with it is I don't really I don't even know what you I guess you call it God because it's like that's the simplest way of putting it, but it's almost like there are things that just drive life and are so important in humanity that you just can't ever put your finger on, like fate and luck and nature and there's coincidence, and it's I guess it's all of that. It's not just there's literally one bloke who decides it all, like it's The Sims. But it could just be that, you know, I guess it's a level of, I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I don't even really know what I feel day to day. I guess it's like there's a humility that I think is built into being religious, which is you're not going to be able to control everything, which I think is quite a healthy attitude, no matter what else you then believe on top of it.
Yeah, I get that. It's that, it's the leap of faith bit. They kind of go, well, just, you know, you just got to believe. And you go, oh, I don't, yeah. I've seen the videos of the trust exercises that go badly wrong when the person falls the wrong way. You know, that would be me. I would lean back and everyone's in front of me. And so, then I see things and I'm like, why does that exist? How is that like octopus? I'm like, it knows how to undo a jar from the inside. It's like, how does it know what a jar is?
It
blows my mind.
I mean, that should have been, as far as I was concerned, page one, chapter one of the Bible was octopuses open jars. Now that I've got your attention.
Do you know what? More people would be into it if there are a few more things like that.
Yeah, it's an odd one, really. I went to church every week when I was a kid. I was sort of brought, my mum sang in the choir. She still does. The priest would come round the house sometimes. He was a really good man. And I didn't ever know what I believed, and I genuinely don't think, I would like to think my beliefs would never be viewed as ridiculous, because it's more just sort of a vague faith in or hope in or belief in this stuff that we can't understand. Definitely going to mass, I think as a kid, it really, it obviously had a huge impact on me.
Well, it's huge.
And I don't even know if it's like a good thing. I don't even know if, but it's almost, especially the Catholic Church, is built to make you kind of fall on your knees and accept that there's something bigger that's going on.
Yeah. I think the idea of religion is a great thing. Like we've said, it's more about benefiting your life. It's a way of living your life where you're decent to your fellow man. But obviously human beings have corrupted that, and now they manipulate things in order for you to give them money and keep you in your place, it feels. And that's the bit, that's where it all starts to fall down. You know? But then you have to kind of, I don't know, I suppose you have to kind of find your own path, don't you, with it? And kind of, I don't really know, to be honest.
I think it's a very, I mean, I guess it's quite a personal thing. I remember after I did my last Edinburgh show, where I talked a lot about sort of how I thought the Catholic Church wasn't that bad and my own sort of, I wasn't sure if I was still an atheist and stuff like that. I was asked to write a couple of articles about being a Catholic, what's it like to be a Catholic? And I sort of, I just said no, because it wasn't even like I, First of all, I didn't know if that's what I was. Mm. And also I thought, I don't want to, because I don't, who the fuck, I don't know what I think. I honestly don't know my own head. Like, I went for a walk this morning and it took me 50 minutes to pick what pair of shoes to wear. I've only got two pairs of shoes. Like, this, it wasn't a decision.
And they're both black.
Yeah, they're both black and they're covered in blood. Don't worry about it. I don't know if I'm being that clear with it. It's not something that is ever present in my life, but I definitely I try and keep an open mind as best I can.
Yeah, I think I'm the same. And again, like you said, it depends what sort of mood I'm in. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, do you know what? There's energy and there's power and there's something going on that we would never understand. And then other days I'm like, oh, it's all shit. You're full of shit. It depends how much sleep I've had, I guess.
Yeah, I think, you know. I really do think that as well. Like, I remember, like, I met a lot of priests and nuns growing up, just that's the social circles I was in. But like, the school I went to was a Catholic school, my secondary school.
Okay.
But it was like a state, it was a comprehensive, so they couldn't lay it on too thick. But there was still like a chaplain on site, and he would occasionally sort of come around and, you know, you'd see him at the big events, you know.
He
was at the big events. He was like Hugh Edwards, you know. They wheeled him out for the big one.
the summer fate, he'd be there. Yeah.
I remember vividly seeing him once, like in a shop around the corner from the school, buying loads, like buying like two Kit Kats and eating them as he left the shop. And I thought, because in my head, I think all priests and nuns, all they think about all day is God. God. All they've got in their head is God. And you go, no, they're just fucking, he's a bloke. 99% of his day is, I just fucking want to eat curry and sit on my ass. He's just, you know.
I get that. I always think they just, yeah, they're always, when they're not, when they just wake up in the morning, straight on their knees praying, and then they come out and then they tell us to pray. And then they go back and then they pray some more. But yeah, sometimes they have a Kit Kat and just...
We're all just going around, aren't we?
We're just guessing. Everyone's guessing. And when you meet someone that's convinced that they've got the answers, you go, well, I don't want to be around this person. They're giving off a really weird vibe. If no one's that sure. And if anyone is, you go, nah, I'd rather not be around that person, you know?
I definitely feel... I definitely am almost I try and rid myself of any opinions I have on anything, which I don't know if is the best way to live life moving forward. But I've never had an opinion that's worked out well for me.
No.
So I generally just try and bounce around and hope good things happen. And for the most part, I've been very lucky. So
what I like is I always make the mistake of. I'll try and keep Twitter and things like that to just making jokes and, you know, having a bit of fun or talk about something that I like. And then every now and again, I'll make a comment on something and I'll just get shot down or I'll get and I'm just like, oh God, what have I done this for? It's just better when I don't, you know, just, and I think that's in life, you know, having a conversation around the table, maybe, you know, you can chat about things, but other than that, keep your mouth shut. Just.
Yeah. Yeah. I do, yeah, I mean, I definitely think Twitter and stuff like that, it's so tempting sometimes to really go, I'm going to tweet something incredible here, and it is going to, I'm going to find through that some sort of deliverance. Like, I am going to reach a higher echelon of consciousness because of how brilliant I'm about to be. But it's just not... it's not built for that.
No,
it's not built for that. So
I do.
Follow pictures of carrots that shape like knobs and and retweet when you've got a gig.
I did it yesterday. Someone made a joke about Noel Gallagher and his music tastes, and then he said, "Oh God, it was all like the Who, and it was all this, that, and the other." And the guy went, "God, look," he goes, "Look at this. Is the guy never? Is he? Doesn't he know that women sing? Has he never heard a woman sing?" And I read that, I went, oh, you knobhead. So I put a picture up going of Noel with his band, and he's got a very high flying birds, very diverse band. And I left it. And I'm like, yeah, I'll be seen as a genius all over Twitter now. I go, look, I showed this guy what's for. And I look later on, I'm like, oh no, he said, oh, I was joking. And then everyone else was like piling on me going, he was joking, you fucking idiot. Oh God. And I just slid off. I just slid away.
Yeah, it's hard. It's a swamp out there.
Yeah. Not just on there, everywhere. Already people had stopped piling the toilet rolls again, and you're like, well, what happened to the last lot you had? You can't have gone through that already.
You can't have gone through all that already. Who are you, the toilet roll police? Stood there with a clipboard.
Listen, Gary, Maureen, now, I've been around your garage, and I know you're not working at the market, so I know you've got a lot of toilet roll left.
I've been around your garage. I've been checking your bins. You've not been getting enough fibre in your diet to be shitting this much. I guess it probably all comes back to that thing where, and I hate to fucking mention it, but I do feel like there's no leadership in this country. Like, you do that. This is a time when you need the government to, like, they don't need to know what to do, because how could they know what to do?
Yeah.
But can you at least, like,
pretend?
Just pretend. That's what the others are doing.
Everyone's blagging it. We've already said this.
We're all blagging this, you fucking...
Just tell us what you... Just tell us, and then we'll go, well, it's the government. They clearly know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But they kind of... It's also wishy-washy, and they're worried about votes more than people's safety, it seems. So it's all this, well, we want you to do this and do that. And whereas Nicola Sturgeon, did you see her the other day? She's brilliant.
Well, she's so formidable, and she's just fundamentally good at her job in a way that I just think they're quite shit at their job. And I know that's like Captain Obvious, like, and I'm sure there's people go, oh, it's actually more complicated than that. But how much more complicated can it be? Like, maybe they're just really dumb and not that good at their job.
Yeah, why can't that be a thing? Why can't it just be...
Why can't that be a legitimate opinion?
It just seems to me they're like clowns. They're like they pretend to chuck water over you and it's paper. Yeah. You know, it's just, they're just bumbling around, and you're like, just, mate, will you just...
Well, it's funny. My wife is a Canadian, and we've been keeping up with what's going on over there and their reaction. And Justin Trudeau is their prime minister. And, you know, there's a lot of contradictions to that man, and he's far from perfect. And, you know, that was kind of exposed last year, where there was a lot of shit in his past.
Yeah.
But the way he's been speaking to the public over there, there's a maturity to it. There's a trust to it. But there's a kind of... I listen to him and I think, if I was in this country, I would at least feel like there is a light at the end of this tunnel. You know, there are people who are working night and day to do what they think is the best job for this country. And I can't think that I've ever had that impression.
No. I always get, it's always that, whereas... Like other leaders are kind of like, they're kind of like, look, we will get through this. We're going to do, we are doing all we can. We are in the same boat. It's affecting all of us on every level. We're doing what we can. Whereas in this country, it's still us and them, you know, it's still them on there. It's still the generals on the hill where they're just sending us off into battle again. And you're like, you're not listening. You're just as fucked as we are.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I really, it's probably not great podcasting, but I'm just, what can I say? I have absolutely no fucking idea. And I'm just...
None of us do.
I feel for the people who are really vulnerable, and I feel grateful that we live in a country where there are a lot of people looking out for those people, even if they're not always in charge of the country, you know?
Yes.
That's one thing I do think... We should look at, and we should be proud of, is certainly early on into this, you couldn't volunteer. There are a lot of places where you couldn't find places to volunteer because they were so oversubscribed.
Yes.
There were so many people trying to do things for other people. There were so many people volunteering at food banks and at kitchens and
yep. Yeah.
And that's a good thing. I mean, now, I don't know if that's still the case. I suspect it isn't because, you know, things have changed a bit. But it's easy to get really down on Britain, and I get really down on it. But there's a lot of good people here.
Yes. You know what? You're right. I think that's it. Again, because sometimes the mood you're in, you kind of focus on the shit bits. But as you've just pointed out, there's still millions of people that are busting their asses to... because they are great people. They're just like, I'm going to go and do my bit. Yeah, I've never really thought about that before until right now. Well done. Let's see. I'm glad I had you on now. I get too caught up in the bollocks and shit.
Perfect. I do as well. I'm lucky. I've got a partner who is just apolitical for the most part. And I mean, she's just such a great person, and she's always trying to keep busy and help people. And I get, I get sort of caught up in that sort of by osmosis.
So, yeah. No, that's lovely. So where did you meet?
Who, me and her?
Yeah.
We met. The problem is our origin story is too romantic.
Which is what we need right now. This is what we're talking about. We need that.
I was on the last night of a lad's holiday in Portugal with Matt Ewins.
Sounds romantic already.
Comedian. I mean, already.
Already. I mean, it's rose petals on the bed.
I was with Matt Ewins and Chris Quayle, who's a comedy agent. Yeah. Good guys, really good guys, yes. Old friends. And on the last night, I met her, and she was on the last night of a holiday as well. And I told two massive lies. I don't know if I should say this on the podcast, but
have you told her first?
I've fucking yes.
Yeah, oh right, okay.
I told her. Well, I told her because I was with two people who are cooler, more confident, and probably better looking than me. So I told her that Matt Ewins was married and that Chris Quayle was gay, and neither of those were true. And I don't know if even it was... I don't know if that's a nice thing to have done. But it was it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and I made my decisions. And we now are very happily married. So...
Well, it worked then. It was... Well, I don't understand why you would say that, though.
I mean, I think I was in a bad way. It had been a long week. And anyway, we met then. We hit it off. And then she was living in Spain at the time. And so we just did a bit of long distance for a while and didn't know what the relationship was. And then 3 years ago, almost to the day, 3 years ago, we just made the decision. She's like, I'm going to move to London. I think we should move in together.
Wow.
Knowing full well, this is probably a huge risk that will bite us in the arse, and it didn't. And
she took that leap of faith.
She took that leap of faith. Yeah,
that's amazing. So she must have seen beyond the lies. She's like, look,
and that's all I'm asking the listeners of this to do. Just see beyond the lies. Okay, this is meant to be about mental health. Okay, I'm not proud of what
we're trying to work out why you did it. Oh man, but do you feel so you're very open with each other, very honest, and you know you sound like you've got a good thing going on.
I think so. I think it's I think it's like any other relationship, but she's just the best, as far as I'm concerned, and I think that's all you can hope for.
Yeah,
that's all any person can hope for is to be married to the best person that they've ever met. I mean, I can't really believe my luck, and we always say it might run out. we are that level of honest, but it's been really amazing spending this much time with her over the 6 months.
Yeah.
That we've been locked down.
That's nice. That's nice. That you've got each other through this awfulness. You know, you're in it together. That's really cool.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's you count your blessings at times like this.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
you have to. But I mean, I don't know what. I mean, you must feel the same. I don't know what you're.
Well, Yes. Well, Jade and I are in this moment. We love each other very much, but I think because we started in a weird way. I think Jade's of a mind that she thinks. Because I've been in other relationships, I've been shit. I've not been good. I've been with some wonderful people, and I haven't respected them because I wasn't in the right place. I wasn't myself. I hadn't figured myself out. So I was still acting up and doing all manner of shit. Then I met Jade, and then Jade was like, right, I know what you're like, and if this is to proceed, you need to go and sort yourself out because this shit ain't going to fly. She says, I know you're decent underneath, but you're doing all this other shit. So I went away and sorted myself out. I think sometimes Jade can't believe how good it is because we get on really well when we get on. And I think Jade sometimes thinks this is too good to be true. He's going to fuck it up. And I spend most of my time going, I'm not going to fuck this up. I'm not going to fuck it up. And she's like, I don't believe you. You fucked it up before. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not that guy. That's where we're at in a minute. Like our counsellor said, she said, you're both at that point in your relationship where you're like, right, I'll be going all in with this. Because this is going to work, or you just leave each other alone and go your separate ways, and that's where we're at the minute. So we had a massive Barney on the way here, actually.
I'm glad I brought it up.
We're just at that stage where we just annoy each other. I know we love each other dearly, very much so, but we just keep triggering each other. Like she'll say something, and I'm like, well, "Why are you patronising me?" And she's like, "Why are you snapping at me?" And then it explodes.
I think it's one thing is because my wife isn't a comedian or in the entertainment industry at all, or even if I'm brutally honest, a fan of my comedy. we're always like at least professionally. We're so apart from each other.
Yes.
That's never a thing. You know, we're both fighting our own battles. We're both, you know, passionate about our work. We work pretty hard and but they are separate entities, and so we can kind of, you know, talk about our work on our own terms. We don't have someone. I think if there's two comics together, I think that's really. I think that's a unique challenge.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah.
It is, and sometimes we'll be arguing, and there'll be talk about. It's, you know, you try and have a go at each other, and she'll be like, "Well, it's because I'm more successful," and I'm like, "Oh, fuck off."
Yeah, yeah.
And it isn't that at all. It's just you wanted to just say horrible things, but that's the other thing as well. Yeah, you know, we don't. There's no resentment or anything else. Like we're both doing things, and we're both proud of each other.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's more. Like you say, you're both. I recognise the stresses in this industry, and I think sometimes we don't talk about them. We just lash out, and
I think as well, knowing the stresses of this industry means that if you're talking to anyone, it doesn't have to be a partner. You probably know the ways that you can just twist it because, like, if you really wanted to, like, if you were in a relationship, you know, that's why I'm lucky. I'm lucky with my. Yeah, if me and my wife ever get in an argument, I don't tell her about the shit gigs. No. You know, she thinks I'm doing much better than I am. I'm not going to give her that ammunition in a fight.
I now am at the point where I'm just like, babe, we're fucking this up. Come on, this is really good. It's really good.
I try and view it like. I mean, look, we've been okay recently, but we had a, I guess it'll be as open as I can. The other night we had a chat, we were like, I think it's getting a bit, not stale, but like it's, every relationship, I think, ebbs and flows.
Yes.
But the fact is, this is crazy. The fact that any relationship could survive this.
Oh, God, yeah.
Is insanity to me. And I try and, we say this to each other. We go like, there's a lot stronger marriages, a lot stronger couples than us who have probably broken up.
Yeah.
Over what's happening in the world.
And it's difficult to, like you say, yeah, of course, you're together a long time. Things get a bit stale here and there, and you don't really know how to sort of re-energise those areas. I think the thing with Jade and I, we went full on. As soon as we started dating, we went full on. And so it's a very difficult, you kind of go, well, how do we spice this up now? We've done all the spicy things. You kind of...
You're
going to have some vanilla and go and wander around IKEA for a bit, you know.
Well, it's. I think that's really hard as well because you can't. at the moment, you can't do anything, really.
No.
You can't go anywhere. You can't, it's like you said, you can't plan it, go, well, I'm going to plan a romantic weekend in Paris or whatever. You go, well, you fucking, what sort of romantic weekend is that? 2 weeks in lockdown.
Hey, babe, I booked just 2 weeks quarantine.
but
you've got someone to talk to, though. That's...
Can you
you have days where you're like, sometimes you don't even know why you're down. You're kind of like, I just feel down. I don't know why.
Yeah, and that's one thing that she's never really had that, my wife. I think she's just such a go-getter, and she just loves life on a way that I always wished I think I do. I mean, I've said this in my stand-up. Like, I do look at her and think, you're the person I thought I could have been in many ways, because she gets out there and she just grabs everything that life throws at her. But it is that thing where I think, funnily enough, I think a couple of weeks ago, when you asked me to do this, I was having one of those, you know, there's a week where it felt like it's like lead hanging off you, and I wake up and I go, well, what is my life? What is everything going on? And I felt like it was easier for me to not feel like that before, because you just move so quickly in normal life.
Yeah.
But I try and talk to her about it, and I think I do wish I was better at opening up to her about it.
Yeah.
Because I think it upsets her when I don't. I don't think I'm always the best at saying to her, this is just how I... You just have to just let it play out sometimes.
Yes.
Because eventually something will come up and I'll feel a bit better. But again, that's I guess that's what it's a relationship. It's like it's a constant negotiation, and you have to meet halfway sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm not
yeah.
always the best at, sometimes I let, you know, I go too much my own way, and sometimes I don't go enough. But this week, you know, I can feel myself climbing out of that, which is always a nice feeling. I think when you've been in a rut and you get up, and there's just a bit more spring in my step at the moment.
Oh, lovely. That's nice.
Yeah, I don't know if that makes sense. I mean, I've generally been okay. I've been able to keep busy. I've had stuff to occupy my time and my mind, and I've got good people around me.
That's cool. That's nice. Yeah. I get messages from people on here all the time, just like, you know, just saying like, the darkness is just debilitating, and they're like, I'm like, I totally get it. And sometimes you're lying there going, why am I feeling this way? I feel everything's, you know, regardless of how the world is on fire, and, you know, we don't know what's going to happen one day to the next. But on the whole, I'm like, no, I'm all right. You know, Jade and I could be better, but we're working on it. My lads are fine. You know, I exist. That's one thing that, and I know that sounds wishy-washy and, I don't know, a bit odd, but the fact that we exist blows my mind, and that we're aware that we exist. And sometimes I'm like, oh, why am I spoiling this with worrying about other stuff when I'm alive? And I know that sounds mad the way I'm saying it. I can't really.
No, I think I know exactly what you mean. It's sort of too much to deal with. And I do, funny enough, think that's why stuff like religion and all these, you know, not necessarily religion, but other things come in to play with people's lives. Because it's just how is the human brain meant to cope with the fact that I was an ape and now I've got clothes and an email address and I'm on a rock that's flying through space and Donald Trump's the president? What am I meant to do with this?
It's true. And I'm like, wow, it was a million to one shot that I would exist. And now I'm here and I'm lying on my bed worrying because I've not got this certain record, I haven't got enough money or something. But the fact that I'm here, I think what it is society. We've talked about this before. It's the framework of society says, right, you must fit into this in order for you to be a decent citizen. And none of us fit into that. And that's why we're all depressed and going off of our heads and thinking that we're all mentally ill.
Yeah, it's funny that. And I also think that is another thing why stand-up comedy was so special to the people involved in stand-up comedy. I think because I don't know about you, but I somewhat felt like making a living as a stand-up, it's like I've cheated the system here. I'm doing all the things that I'm meant to be doing. I'm paying my tax, I'm paying my rent, but I'm having fun and I'm with my mates. And and I think knowing that, I'm going to have to become one of those other ones.
No, I'm going to have to go and do, oh dear. I know, we were very lucky. Will be again, but yeah. But I'm doing a part-time work at a T-shirt printing shop.
Is that right?
Yes, and I love it. And the guys, they can't get their heads around it. They're like, Richie, but you don't want to be doing this. I'm like, no, I know I don't want to be doing it, but I really like doing it. And I just like doing it.
What sort of T-shirt? Sorry if you've talked about this before.
No, it's all right.
What sort of T-shirts do you print?
Well, you've got like the tattoo designs that are very sort of trendy at the minute. Not trendy, but they're around, and they do that SOS clothing. And so they've got all their own designs. And Mark and Stacey, they're really good lads. I met them through Stu Whiffin and doing my podcast and their podcast. And
yeah,
it's a nice little groove of people, really cool. And I happen to jokingly say, look, if you need anyone, give me a shout, because I need some dosh. And they went, do you want to come and just help us out? I'm like, yeah.
That's great.
But it's not even that isn't, it doesn't feel like a proper job. Like, you know, I get up in the morning, I go against the traffic. So I'm not even stuck in traffic. It's the other way. And then I'm done at 4. And the lads are just, you know, they're just good lads. And it just, even that feels like I'm getting away with it, you know?
But that's brilliant. I was doing some bar shifts earlier in the summer.
Yeah.
And since the gigs have come back, I've not had to do that. I was doing it. I mean, I'm lucky. My wife works for a brewery, and they were running like an open, like they had like warehouse sort of beer gardens throughout the summer, and they needed staff. And I would do a few of those. Because I've done a bit of bar work before, and it was odd because it is, stand up really spoils you, you know.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
It really spoils you. And so I was like, first hour, I was like, would you wipe the table? I am the table.
I'm normally stood on the table.
It's like, I'm the fucking king of this table. No, who wants me to wipe it down? But I thoroughly loved it. Like I did a few shifts, and like I just really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed it because it is a bit like stand up. You know, it's personable, and you know the jobs are simple enough. But you know, I guess in a weird way, you're giving joy to people, and
in a strange way.
And it's mad, really. I always was. It's a funny thing with stand-up, because I do think people get addicted to the lifestyle. I think people get addicted to the feelings and the pampering and the adulation.
Yes.
But I you know, there are a lot of very, very happy lives to be led away from this entire industry.
Yes.
And I try and keep that in mind.
Absolutely.
Because it's a real chance that I'm going to have to find one of those. You know, we don't know when it's going to come back.
But I do, this is the one thing I've got from this, just doing this podcast. I now am in touch with some wonderful people that I have conversations with. They're just great people. And I wouldn't have met them if it hadn't been for comedy, because I wouldn't be doing this.
And oh, so, no, 100%.
Yeah,
100%.
So there's great people that I've met. There's this guy called Steve Priest, lovely guy. We talk about music. There's Catherine Kane.
What a name. Can I just
Steve
say, what
Priest.
What a name,
yeah.
Steve Priest.
And he's a lovely guy as well. Yeah. So Steve Priest and Catherine Kane, and just a load of people that support the podcast. And so there's almost like a community that's sort of building up.
It's nice. I think I sent you a message a couple months ago about this, because I was going on my, I started running during lockdown.
Yes.
I'm that guy. And I was listening to this podcast as I was running, and I just sort of was compelled to send it to you, because I was like, I always feel like I'm above, I'm such a fucking ego, isn't it? When you go like, these things go, oh yeah, it's helping me, like podcasts helping me. I'm always like, I'm above all that, okay? I don't need a podcast to help me. But genuinely, I mean, I don't know how, whether this is a nice thing to hear or not, but like, I listened to a few of your episodes, and it really leveled me out. I feel
nice, man.
Yeah, I think it's a cool. great, because it's mental health, but it's like, it's good. It's a good mental health one.
Yeah. Well, it's more about doing, I've said this before, but it's more about talking about it in a way that isn't just listing our ailments and stuff. It's literally just people telling their stories and talking about things, and then other people listen and go, oh yeah, I think that. Oh, good. Yeah, oh, good. Yeah, Someone else thinks that. So I'm not weird then.
Yeah, I remember listening to a few, and you know, whatever gets you through is, at the end of the day, whatever gets you through with it is good with me. But I remember a couple of the when mental health became like a thing, a big thing like it is now, there were a lot of like articles and podcasts and stuff, and I would listen to them and read them, and the general vibe always seemed to be like, it's okay if you're depressed, like it's okay. And I thought, like, I don't want to hear that, because yeah. I don't find it okay. It's fucking ruining my life. Like, I need to, and I like this show because I think it also is like, it is shit. Like, it's fucking shit. Stop saying it's okay. It fucking it sucks not dick, and you have to fucking do anything in your power to fucking just to get, but because you can beat it, you can fight it.
Yeah, you
it's
can.
Just, it's just hard,
and it's just, and I, what I like about this as well, you can, it's the language as well. We speak in a way that, because this is how I talk, and sometimes I swear, people swear, and it, you know, it's doing it in that way that isn't Radio 4. You know, it's not all clipped vowels and now here's the weather. You know, it's like,
that's a really good way of putting it, and it's not disparaging on Radio 4.
Absolutely not, no disrespect.
But like, I know. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Real people.
We're Radio 1 Extra.
This is pirate radio, man. This is radio Laser Caroline out on the oceans.
This is Lightning FM. Do you know what Lightning FM is, by the way?
I've laughed and I've gone, yeah, but no, what is it?
I don't know. I was asking if you
knew. No, because I laughed because I'm like, oh, it must be another pirate radio thing. I'm shouting now.
I think it is pirate radio, but I was driving around a few weeks ago and I was putting on the radio on different channels, and Lightning FM came up. I'd be fascinated if anyone listening could send me a message. And it was really cool. I think it was like a dub reggae station. It was really fun. But like, it was so weird, like listening to radio adverts that are like so, I wouldn't say off-grid, but it's like, I've never heard a radio advert like that. Because some of the radio I listen to, it's all like vans. But they're advertising like vans or insurance or, you know. It's, and this was like rave weekends in the Gambia, like tickets, and I thought, well, that's great. You don't get that on Talk Sport.
I know. I love that. Every time, I don't know if it used to be when you'd come out, if you'd go from south to north through the Blackwall Tunnel, when you came out the other side, clearly there was a radio station in one of the tower blocks as you came out, and it would, you'd go from wherever you were listening to Radio X to now you're listening to this dub. Drum and bass or whatever it was, and the guy, it was brilliant. I used to look forward to coming out the other side to this guy just talking to his mates through this thing, and now then, and you're like, oh, what, this is great.
I love that.
But I love the fact that people are still doing it.
I was about to say that. Isn't that a brilliant thing? It's still going, and what is ever going to kill radio?
I don't, just nothing wonder
that, because I think if it isn't dead now, it will never die.
Producer Paul just sent me a thing. I've got so professional in here. This is the first time doing it from Producer Paul's studio.
Oh.
Normally we do it via Zoom. He's just sent me a link on the screen. It's in front of me. Lightning FM is a British online radio station that plays hip-hop, soul, reggae, independent soul and soulful house. Its team of DJs includes Dixie, DJ Harvey and DJ Inspector. Now, that is wicked.
DJ Inspector.
He goes around inspecting the rest of them.
I'm the DJ Inspector.
Got a lanyard and a clipboard.
Got to check Craig Charles's gums.
Yeah, they're pretty worn, man. They're pretty worn. What have you been doing?
But if it's an online radio station, why was I getting it in my 2006 Honda Jazz?
I don't know.
They must have some sort of AM frequency sub in London or something. Maybe.
But that's Lightning FM. And so to anyone listening to this from Lightning FM, get in touch.
I genuinely would love a free weekend of raving in the Forest of Gambia. Like,
fucking great.
That sounds amazing.
Oh, man. But you... I want to do it. Lighten FM. I didn't even know about this. Does it? I learn something new from every episode.
Do you think we... I mean, what? Are you about to say we should get a show on Lighten FM?
I don't think their listeners would dig us.
I don't know if... I think you'd be okay. I think I am absolutely... Well, it's 4 a.m. It's Lightning FM. Sean McLaughlin here. That's right. It's time for another Belle and Sebastian B-side.
You never know. You might be introducing something new to the masses. Something bringing a bit of
music's music at the end of the day, isn't
true.
It?
True. It is true. I love music. But do you err on the side of sort of melancholy when it comes to your music?
When I always did. That was my default growing up. And then actually I try to avoid all that stuff now.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a problem for me in my 20s, but I do think a lot of the depression and lows I had throughout my 20s, I put it this way, it didn't help. You know?
No.
Like I'm sitting in a dark room listening to Radiohead. Why am I so sad?
Well, I remember I went through my goth stage and I was into The Mission, and when I sort of got into The Damned, they were the first band I ever saw, but it was when they started their goth sort of stage. So yeah, there was a lot of darkness around then, you know, Sisters of Mercy and things like that. But I always had. I mean, I love that music, and it wasn't necessarily depressing, though. That's the thing. It's not, you know, some of it's quite, it's epic, some of it.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Rather than sort of depressing.
That's what I think about, like, the Smiths. I mean, the 80s in particular, I think there was a lot of that stuff. It was, on the surface, really sad, dour music, but you can dance to it.
Yeah.
They play it in nightclubs and in discos.
Yes.
So it doesn't make any... sense.
No,
what is this?
When they talk about, they talk about the Smiths being depressing, and you're like, no, this charming man is an absolute banger, and I dare anyone to stand
it. Filler. Like, it's a legitimate wedding, like your fucking idiot uncle fucking dancing like a lemon to the Smiths.
Exactly. Lyrics as well. The lyrics are, there's a lot of love in the lyrics. Like, you know, There Is Light That Never Goes Out is, it's one of the greatest love songs ever written.
It's beautiful.
You know, and it's, I think... Yeah, I do try to, I've said this before, I do try and avoid too much melancholy. But what's happened now is, because I was a fan of Level 42 in the 80s, in my sort of formative years, they're just there, and sometimes they're not cool, unfortunately. No disrespect to Mark King and the boys, but sometimes I'll play it and people go, what are you listening to this for? It's in me now. It's in my DNA.
I know what you mean. Like, I mean, I think I've got away from it now, but there was definitely a couple years for a while where it was hard to be a Kings of Leon fan because people didn't realise that they used to be fucking genuinely good.
Yes.
And because they became so crap so quickly. And I just wanted to go, no, you idiots. The first two, they were genuinely a good band.
First two, I will rave about those forever. But Sex on Fire can get in a sea. What?
Yeah, put an anvil on it.
Even they don't like it. Even they don't like it.
No.
I don't know. It's a shame.
Bemoaning it in their $10 million house.
Yeah. Oh, damn this song. Chuck another seal on the Barbie.
Yeah. I try not to think about cool and all that anymore. I mean, I do feel like I'm out of that world. I mean, I just don't think I... Like, my favourite... If I was to think about which band I probably listen to more than any other band in the world, certainly over the last 18 months, by a mile... And I know this because it's on my Spotify, like, it's the statistics show. By a mile, it's... You know that band, The Cars?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think they're particularly cool. Like, they certainly haven't had, like, a renaissance the way that Queen and the others have. But I think it's, like, this is really great rock, like...
There's some great stuff
new wave
by The Cars.
Punk, sort of poppy. That's my... I'll die on that hill. I'll die on that hill with... your aunt, with all of your aunts and the creepy guy from the fun fair. Like, that's, I'm with them. The Cars are one of the great bands of of the 80s.
I love the Cars. I love the Cars, and I will stand proud with my love of Level 42 forever.
You should. You should.
I've got nothing but admiration, and they do. That's the thing. When I'm feeling a bit shit, I put on Standing in the Light. Their I think it's their third album.
It
just brings me joy.
That's all you need. I mean, my wife. Who I keep talking about.
No. But
as literally the only other thing in my life for 6 months, I guess I will. She's what you would call on the she's a liar. She's hoodwinked me because when I first met her, she's got loads of cool tattoos and she's got like dark black hair and she was wearing a Ramones t-shirt.
Mate.
And I thought you are the fuck. I just thought you're the coolest person I've ever met. I cannot wait to tell you that my friend is gay when he's not. And then now it's like the further you go into the relationship. I walked in the other day. I've been shopping, right? She's listening full blast Celine Dion. And I was like, this is grounds for divorce as far as I'm concerned.
What is this?
What? You fucking catfished me here.
All of her tattoos are just rubbed off.
Yeah, it's just Jack and Rose from Titanic.
There's a wig on a mannequin. Oh no, you're home early, babe. I'm like, what is this?
Oh, you were using me to get into the country. I knew it.
Oh man, but are you all right in the great scheme of things? I know that's a massive question.
Oh man,
are you holding on, mate?
Who the fuck knows, mate? I'm all right, man.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking, I'm all right. I'm lucky. I try not to think about what was lost. That's the main thing. I think there was. I didn't dwell on it too much, but I think the scale of how long this has all gone on for and that, because you know, it was going to be a good year, and I was going to go back to Edinburgh Fringe, and I had a lot of career wise, it was going to be it looked like it was going to be a pretty good go of it. But that stuff could all yet happen. It could still happen.
Yeah, I think it will.
And you know, I have a wife I love, and I have a flat that's okay, and I have a bit of savings.
Yeah,
and I can just get there are jobs I can get. I'm fine. I mean, I'm not the best I'll ever be, but what are you going to? No one is. This is.
I think that's it.
I think anyone who's in their peak, like anyone who's in their prime right now, you've got to get DJ Inspector over there because there's something wrong with them. But every day, I read stories. You see dozens of things. You're aware of thousands of millions of people who are just. Who would love to be where, you know, love to be in the position that I'm in, and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah,
you know, whatever. Well, it's.
But it's like you said, it's looking around at what you do have. If you're lucky enough, kind of go, oh, okay, look, because we can spend too much time on, like you say, stuff that's lost and stuff that you know we were working towards and blah blah blah. But you kind of take a moment, look around, and go, oh yeah, actually, you know, this is cool. This is, yeah, all right, we're not getting on, but we will. And, you know,
it's one of those things with the gigs coming back helped because I, you know, it's a bit of money. And that was always the worry. It's just money at the end of the day. If you take away money worries, there isn't that, I don't think there's that much. It's always the hardest thing to worry about.
Mate, it is that.
I find.
Money is the, honestly, I know it's the root of all evil, but it really is. Mm. And it's not even that I want loads. I just want some, just so I don't have to worry about it. That's it.
Mm.
You know,
it's. But I'm, you know, I'm all right.
Yeah,
or at least it's usually my happiness is usually within my own hands. I think.
Yes.
I think it's usually like, am I eating well? Am I getting enough sleep? Am I, you know, looking after myself?
The usual.
And it's. Oh, I don't know. Who the fuck? Just, I mean, genuinely, you could do this. We could have had this chat tomorrow, And I'd be like, yeah, I'm great. I'm a Hindu now. And and I've taken out a 50 grand loan and I've put it all into a new carpet shop. So like, I don't know.
It just vary from day to day.
But it is.
Oh, God.
There's a lot of, you know, I get to chat to you and,
yeah.
You know, I do miss. I just miss society. I miss going into a cafe and not having my temperature checked.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And going to a film and not feeling like I've killed five old people in the process. But
yeah, that's what are it. You yeah, do? I think that's it. I found myself a couple of times going, oh, you know, I used to be able to just pop out and maybe go to a record shop, and which I can do, but now you're like, yeah, but you've got masks on, and then there's the fear and. It just feels different, so it's not very comfortable being out sometimes. So I end up just sitting indoors, you know. And yeah,
I thought. I mean, how are you feeling at the minute?
Yeah,
I'm
the same. I think I just it goes day to day. Sometimes I'll wake up and I'll be fine. I'll be like, oh, you know, we just got to get on with it. And the other times I'm like, oh, what's the point? What's the fucking point? And then I have to physically say to myself, I do. Out loud, I kind of go, well, look, your boys are fine. You exist. Come on, you know, you exist. This is a mad old thing. You exist, man.
Yeah.
That should be enough, but obviously it's not.
You've outlasted Woolworths. Blockbuster Video.
Blockbuster Video came and went in my lifetime.
Who would have ever thought that?
Your stuff. I know.
Would you have ever imagined that? I'll outlive Blockbuster.
Who'd have thought? Because when Blockbuster turned up, we thought that was it. We thought that was it. There was going to be nothing else.
And then
you know.
Yeah.
And now it's been and gone. It's been and gone.
Yeah. I mean, what next?
These things that are part of your life, and you just think they'll always be there. Woolworths was. That was everywhere when I was a kid. They didn't know what they were selling half the time, I'm sure.
They didn't know.
Just stumble across a corner of things. You go, well, what? Why have they got that? It was like a precursor to the middle aisle of Lidl, isn't it? It's like,
Woolworths were
doing that years ago. You know,
you go,
I need a pencil case. I need this. Oh, look, a stepladder and a canoe.
What is that? I remember when Woolworths went down. I mean, I don't know how we've got into this conversation. I'm very sorry. If I feel like I'm really... I don't think I'm running a tight ship here as a guest, and I'm very sorry about that. But the only thing people remember about Woolworths, and the only thing I remember is Pick and Mix.
Wow.
That's the main thing. It was like Pick and Mix. It was the Pick and Mix place. And you think, is Pick and Mix... Was it that so popular at one point that it justified three massive shops in every high street in Britain?
Yeah, I mean, I think it... Well, obviously, you could get school uniform in there. I think there was enough in there to keep the kids distracted while Mum wandered off to get what she needed to get. Now, maybe she was just having a break. Maybe that was like, look, this is a really cheap babysitter. I'll leave them in front of the toys and I'll bugger off around the other side and just sit down for a minute and just go, oh, fine.
Yeah, I...
Just question things. It was easy to nick records out of Woolworths.
Well, it seemed like it was easy to nick everything. I mean, I had friends who... I never did this because I was too much of a weak... I was too weak. And I just knew I'd get caught. But I had mates every day would go and steal stuff from Woolworths.
So much stuff. The record...
And they were the first people who were like, oh, it's a shame it's closed. I go, what's your fucking... What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's your fault. I even talked about it in my set. I'm like, they were like, you know, we're stacking the shelves, not making a bean. I don't understand what's going on. Oh man! Well, I'll tell you what, Sean. This has been lovely. Thank you so much for coming on. I've really enjoyed it, man.
I hope it's been
excellent. We've covered all sorts and solved nothing. That's what I like.
Well, yeah. I mean, what is there to solve, isn't it?
Yeah, we haven't got answers, mate. We're just flapping in the breeze as well as everybody else is. So you know, where can we find you online?
Well, hopefully lightningfm.com. I mean, if things go my way.
Lightning FM, if anyone's listening or connected to them, listen, we have not, we mean them, no, we're not taking the piss. We absolutely adore you.
I genuinely think they're great. They're still on my radio in my car. I listen to them all the time.
Brilliant.
I'm on all the regular stuff. I've got Twitter @SeanMcLaughlin. I've got, oh, just, I don't know. Look it up. But like, my name's hard to, I've got the third choice spelling of first and surname.
Well,
so don't bust your balls. Like, if you don't find me the first couple of times, don't, you're not missing that much.
Well, I sent it to producer Paul, because he emails everybody to sort, because he can sort out the times. And I put an extra G in, and he's like, this doesn't exist. I'm like, oh, yeah. So I put MCG.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing.
I've always wondered how much that's affected. I mean, in my dark hours, I'm always like, that's the thing that fucking ruined my career. My dad's fucking shit Irish name. Like,
you could have been a contender, but.
I could have been. Why?
But why?
At least Sean Locke, like, it's just the lock.
Yeah.
I've got stuff either side. I've got McGlock, like, it's...
And it's not even lock. It's the Gaelic spelling of lock is even...
It's
yeah.
Pathetic.
We'll find you, mate, that way. But this has been lovely. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you. Genuinely, thank you, Rich.
Thank you,
and
mate.
I mean this. It's a great show, this. I don't listen to that many. I listen to this. I really... I hope that I'm able to not ruin it.
Mate,
I am a genuine fan.
Oh, that means more than you know. Thank you so much, mate. I really appreciate it.
Time. Produced by Paul Daniels at pauldaniels.tv.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.